So 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and the verse 1. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wickedly. Wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. He walked also after their counsel, and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians smote Joram. And he returned to be healed in Jezreel because of the wounds which were given him at Ramah when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came to pass, when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, and found the princes of Judah and the sons of the brethren of Ahaziah that ministered to Ahaziah, he slew them. And he sought Ahaziah, and they caught him. For he was hid in Samaria, and brought him to Jehu. When they had slain him, they buried him, because, said they, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. And Jehoshaphat, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not. And he was with them hid in the house of God 6 years. And Athaliah reigned over the land. And in the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds. Azariah, the son of Jeroham, and Ishmael, the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah, the son of Obed, and Masiah, the son of Adiah, and Elshaphat, the son of Zichri, into covenant with him. They went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah, and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord has said of the sons of David. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his precious and inspired word. I wonder if I was to ask you to name some of the great heroes of Israel, the Old Testament people of God. I wonder who you would name. I've no doubt I would hear the name Moses mentioned, the one who led the children of Israel from slavery to freedom and brought them to the border of the promised land. I've no doubt others would mention Joshua, the one who followed on from Moses and conquered the land of Canaan and distributed it by lot to the tribes of the children of Israel. I've no doubt that I would also hear the name David mentioned, the giant slayer, the one who slew Goliath and delivered Israel from the yoke of the Philistines, and who extended Israel's borders greatly, conquered their enemies, subdued the kingdom. Oh, what a hero in Israel David was. Perhaps some would mention Elijah, the great prophet of the Lord, who opposed apostasy and that ecumenical spirit within the nation. Perhaps others would even mention Mordecai there in the book of Esther, that when there was a decree to slay all the Jews and therefore destroy the Messianic line, Mordecai was raised of God to preserve the Jewish nation in Persia and so ensure that the line of the Messiah would still be preserved and Messiah would come forth of his own people. I wonder how many, in naming the heroes of Israel, would mention Jehoiada the priest. Yet we've read of this man, Jehoiada the priest. His life is briefly summarized in a number of chapters in the Bible. 2 Kings 11 and 12 and 2 Chronicles 22 to 24. And yet as you read the life of this man, Jehoiada the priest, you discover that he is worthy of being named in such company as those heroes that I've mentioned. For he too was used of God in a mighty way. He was used of God in two main ways. First of all, to thwart a hellish plot to wipe out the Messianic line. And secondly, he was used to reform Judah and bring true spirituality back to the nation after a time of apostasy and departure. It is the first of those events that introduce us to this man in the chapter that we have read together. In 2 Chronicles 22, we have read of the death of the king Ahaziah. Ahaziah was slain by Jehu as a judgment from God. When Ahaziah died, his mother Athaliah, let me just pause for a moment and say that Athaliah was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And she married Ahaziah's father, Jehoram. And in marrying this man, she was seeking to lay claim to the throne of Judah in the south. But when her husband died and when her son Ahaziah, who only reigned for 1 year, when he was slain by Jehu, she set about a wicked and evil deed to seize control and to seize the throne of Judah. She slew and put to death all her grandchildren. All of the seed royal, the royal seed, she wiped them out. She slew them with the exception of one. Her own grandchildren, her son's children, she put them to death. I believe it was an act of selfish power grabbing from this evil woman, having lost the family inheritance in Israel and losing the throne to her family in the northern kingdoms by the hand of Jehu. She sought about securing the throne of Judah for her family. But yet in slaying her grandchildren and the royal seed, she was putting in peril the Messianic line. You see, God had promised in 1 Samuel 7 and 12, that all the kings of Israel, and indeed the Messiah, would come from David's line. And if this evil woman destroyed the royal seed, then what of the promised Messiah? What a crisis this was in the nation of Judah. And yet, bursting onto the scene comes this man. He's a priest. His name is Jehoiada. and acting with his wife Jehoshabeth, they rescue one of the royal children. His name was Joash. I'm drawing your attention really to from verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 22, verse 10, right down to verse 3 of the following chapter. This man bursts onto the scene. And through his actions, and through his wife's actions, they not only rescued Joash, the king, that little child to be raised up as king, but they put to bed, as it were, this hellish plot to destroy the kingdom of Judah. And it was Jehoiada and his wife who were the heroes of the age. Over the next number of weeks, I want to look at his life. It will be just a short series, 3 or 4 weeks. We want to look at the lessons from the life of this man, Jehoiada, one of the forgotten heroes in Israel. And this morning, I want us to note that some lessons from this man of God who the Lord raised to be a hero in Israel. And I firstly want you to note his partner and their profession. Look at verse 11. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. You notice their names come together. Jehoshabeth, she was the daughter of the king, King Jehoram. But she was also the wife of Jehoiada the priest. And it was their actions that saved the day. We are not told how this couple were brought together in marriage. We're not told anything about their married life before this time. But suddenly in the midst of a crisis, this man and this woman come bursting onto the scene. We know next to nothing about them before this time, except their names. And their names tell us everything we need to know about them. In fact, all we're told about Jehoshabeth is that she was the daughter of King Jehoram. She was the sister of Ahaziah. And she was the wife of Jehoiada the priest. But bursting onto the scene in this time of crisis, their names tell us all we need to know about them. What does the name Jehoshabeth mean? It's a Jewish term or phrase, the Hebrew term or phrase for Jehovah is my oath, or sworn unto Jehovah. Isn't that a remarkable name? Jehovah is my oath, or sworn, one that is sworn unto Jehovah. I say to you, that's a remarkable name for this girl. It's an extraordinary name for this woman. I'm not sure if it's the name she was given at her birth. Why do I say that? Well, I have said her father was Jehoram. Her mother was Athaliah. Her mother was a wicked and an evil woman. Her mother was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Her father had given himself over to the worship of Baal. If you turn back to chapter 21, and the verse 6, you will see something of how this young girl would have been brought up. Tells us something about her father. In verse 5 of chapter 21, we read Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. That's the northern kings. And who was the king at that time? It was Ahab. Ahab and his descendants. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. What did Ahab do? He married Jezebel. Jezebel was a Baal worshipper. And between Ahab and Jezebel, they instituted Baal worship right throughout the nation. Until Elijah challenged them on Mount Carmel. And he built the altar and the sacrifice. And it was Jehovah, not Baal, who put fire on the altar. And the people cried, Jehovah, the Lord, he is the God. Was Ahab deterred from his Baal worship? Not one bit of it. He sought to slay Elijah. And he went on in his Baal worship and his apostasy from the Lord until the Lord struck him down in judgment. But do you notice what we're being told of Jehoram? He did as the house of Ahab, for he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. There's a lesson here for the young people this morning. And we'll get to the main point in a moment. But do you see, Ahab, he did evil because he married an evil and a wicked woman. And I say to the young people this morning, you, in seeking a partner in life, seek one that knows the Lord. For Jezebel led Ahab astray. Jezebel led Ahab astray, and her daughter Athaliah led Jehoram astray as well. Now the point I want you to particularly pick up on and that I'm emphasizing is this, that Jehoshabeth, she was the daughter of a Baal worshipper. Her father worshipped Baal. Her mother worshipped Baal. And they walked in these evil and these sinful ways. So I'm not sure. I can't say for definite. I simply don't know. But it seems strange that two Baal worshippers would give their baby daughter the name Jehoshabeth, sworn unto Jehovah, for they denied Jehovah. But I say to you, at some point in this young girl's life, she learned right from wrong. She came to know the God of the Bible. She came to understand that Baal was a false god, and that Jehovah was the true and living God. And at some point in her life, she swore herself with an oath to follow and to serve Jehovah, the one true and living God. And she rejected Baal worship. She rejected the ways of her father and the ways of her mother. And she walked in the ways of the Lord. She was sworn unto Jehovah. That's the type of young girls and young women we need, not only in the church, but in the nation today. Those that will swear themselves to follow in the ways of the Lord. And that young girl was brought up, and she came to the point where she sworn unto Jehovah. What about Jehoiada? What does his name mean? Well, again, the Lord's name is included in his name, Jehoiada, and it means Jehovah knows or known of Jehovah. And the idea is one Jehovah cares for, known of him and cared for by the Lord. Doesn't it, as I thought about the meaning of that name, it reminded me of the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 27 and 28, when he was speaking about the sheep of his pasture. And he said, speaking of his sheep in John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Known of the Lord. Jehoiada was one who was known of the Lord. Saved by the Lord. Cared for by the Lord. And it was these two people God brought together in holy matrimony. The one that was known of the Lord was brought together with the one who had sworn herself unto the Lord. The one known for and cared for by God, married Jehoshabeth, sworn to the Lord, and they lived for the Lord and served him in a truly remarkable way. Wonder this morning, is that your profession? Have you been known of the Lord? Do you know the Lord? And are you sworn unto him? You've taken that oath, as it were, that you'll be the Lord's child and you'll follow him all the days of your life. In days of apostasy and wickedness and evil, that's the type of people we need among the children of the Lord. Those that will stand for him in a wicked day and generation. But then, I want to move on. We've considered Jehoiada, his partner and their profession. But then I want us to consider, secondly, his action and its aftermath. Verse 11 tells us, look at it again, that Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah. She rescued Joash when Athaliah was killing the royal children. When she was on her murderous spree, it tells us that Jehoshabeth, she took Joash, the son of the king Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. And then it tells us that they hid him, verse 12, in the house of God for 6 years. Now, in reading that, you would think that Jehoshabeth was acting on her own. But in the account in 2 Kings chapter 11, we discover that it was Jehoshabeth who was acting really at the behest or the commands of her husband Jehoiada. They were working together. Verse 2 of 2 Kings 11 tells us Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, the sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And it tells us they hid him. The fact that the word "they" is used teaches us that here was a woman who was acting at the command of her husband. It was Jehoiada who recognized the danger. It was Jehoiada who put into place the plan to rescue the child, the royal seed, and preserve David's line in accordance with God's word. And he told his wife, "There's something you need to do." He couldn't get into the royal family. But oh, he could send his wife in, the sister of the king, and she went in, and there she found the nurse with a little babe, and she brought them out, and then Jehoiada took them to the bedchamber, and then to the temple, and they hid them away. They acted together in their service for the Lord. It was a dangerous service. It could have cost them their life. But they put their lives on the line together to serve the Lord as husband and wife. You know, folks, that's the way it should be. And I say again, if you are a Christian and you're a young person and you're seeking a partner in life, look for someone who has not only sworn unto the Lord, but seek a partner who you can serve the Lord with and together, husband and wife, working together for the service of the Lord. And that's how it should be. I was reminded of, in reading that of Acts chapter 18, verse 2, we read of another husband and wife who served the Lord together. In Acts 18, verse 2, Paul found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And you discover that this husband and wife team, Priscilla and Aquila, they served the Lord and they served with Paul together. What a blessing it is to know husband and wife serving the Lord and serving Him. And young person, that's the type of individual you should be looking out for as you consider a partner in life. One who thinks the same way. One who has the same values. One who loves the Lord as you do. And one who wants to serve the Lord, so that you can serve in unity together. What was their service for the Lord? Well, we see a wonderful example in verse 12. He, that is Joash, was with them. Do you notice the word "them"? Who's the "them"? It's Jehoiada. And it's his wife Jehoshabeth. He was hid with them in the house of God 6 years. Where did they take that little child to shelter him? Where did they take that little boy to hide him away? They took him to the house of the Lord. They hid him in the temple of the Lord. What an example that is now to Christian parents. There's no better place to bring your children up than in the house of the Lord. Now, where Samuel was brought up, there in the house of the Lord, God spoke to Samuel as a child. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And he called him to be a prophet. And he saved his soul, for Samuel up to that point didn't know the Lord. Oh, we tell you, children of believers don't know the Lord by their first birth. They need to hear the call of the Lord. They need to be born again. They need the second birth. But there in the house of the Lord, Samuel heard the call of the Lord, was born anew, and went on to live a life of service in the prophetic ministry for the Lord. And Joash too. Just as the little baby of around 1 year old or so, maybe even less. But there, he was brought up. He was hidden in the house of God. There, Joash was prepared. Prepared to take the throne. Prepared to serve. Prepared in the house of the Lord. I challenge you, dear child of God, dear Christian parent. Bring your children up in the house of the Lord. Bring them up in the house of the Lord as much as you can. Whatever there is, endeavor to have them in the children's meeting. Endeavor to have them in the youth organizations of the church. Endeavor to have them at the Sunday services and the gospel meetings and the missions. I tell you, there's no other way to bring up children. Well, why was Joash brought up in the house of the Lord? Let's just ask that question. Notice the wee word hid. They hid him. He was there with Jehoiada and Jehoshabeth. The whole family was there. And let me just say that, or come to that before we move on. The whole family were there. Jehoiada became like an adoptive father to Joash. He was a father figure. And we'll see as we go on, after Jehoiada's death, Joash made some terrible mistakes. We'll see that in the weeks to come. But Jehoiada was like a father-like figure to this young king. And there they all are in the house of God. The whole family. Doesn't it remind us of how the parents of Jesus, the earthly parents of Jesus, they brought him up to the temple there in Luke chapter 2. They were there in the house of the Lord. The whole family was there. And Joash is brought up with his adoptive parents there in the house of the Lord, the temple. What was the purpose of it? You circle that wee word head in your Bible. If you mark your Bible, it's used over and over again. It's used in verse 11. It's used in verse 12. It's used in 2 Kings to describe why Joash was in the temple of the Lord for those years. To hide him. Hide him from what? Or hide him from who? There was an old wicked woman. Her name was Athaliah. And what was she doing in verse 11? She wanted to slay the royal seed and put him to death. Men and women, I want to tell you, there's a cruel world out there. And it wants our children to die the eternal death. It wants to get its claws into our children. They want our children to take on the values and the morals, should be immorals of the world. They want to introduce them to sin and all the sinful ways of the world, so that they can destroy their souls. Do you know the way you can counteract it? Bring the children up in the house of God, where they'll hear the gospel, where they'll hear it in all its fullness, and they'll hear it in its simplicity and its clarity. Bring them up in the house of God. The child was hidden from the avenger and the murderer in the house of God. And the house of God is the antidote for all that the world will seek to do to your children and grandchildren. Endeavor to get them to the house of God. You know, there's another picture in Athaliah. She's a picture of an ecumenist. And I don't really want, it's not my purpose this morning to develop this thought, but she was the daughter of an ecumenical union. She was the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab was an Israelite. Jezebel was a Gentile unbeliever who worshipped a false god, and they came together in an ecumenical alliance in the northern tribes of Israel. And Ahab sat on the throne, and they produced as a child this daughter Athaliah. And then she influenced her husband, the king of Judah, along those same ecumenical lines. And she wants to destroy the royal seed of Judah. You know, ecumenism wants to do away with our Protestant heritage and faith. Ecumenism wants to water it down and have our children brought up not knowing biblical truth, and it being watered down so much that they can't tell the difference between evangelical Protestantism and Romanism. I tell you, the best way to counteract it is to hide our children in the house of the Lord that will teach them the true message of the Scriptures. That's what Jehoiada and Jehoshabeth did. They brought him up. They prepared him for his service for God upon the throne of Judah in the house of the Lord. May we follow their example. We've considered this hero, his partner, and their profession. Known of the Lord in a day of apostasy, sworn unto the true and living God. We've noticed their action and its aftermath. They rescued Joash, the king in waiting, and they hid him and they brought him up and they sheltered him and prepared him in the house of the Lord. And finally, I want you to notice this morning Jehoiada, his covenant and its conviction. Look into chapter 23. You'll notice after 6 years, in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. And he brought the captains of the army and he made a covenant with them that he was going to unveil the child as the true king and expose Athaliah as a fraud and a traitor and one that was to be done away with. And in verse 3, we read all the congregation made a covenant with the king. Do you notice the Bible calls Joash the king? Athaliah was a usurper. Though she reigned for 6 years, Jehoiada patiently waited his time. And sometimes in God's work, we have to be patient. We have to wait for the right time to take the work of God forward. And he patiently waited, preparing the child in the house of God to unveil him as the king. Then he called the captains together and he gathered the Levites and the priests together, the spiritual leaders of the land. And he entered into a covenant, an agreement that couldn't be broken. And he said, the king shall reign. This child, Joash, is of the royal seed, the son of Ahaziah, rescued and saved from Athaliah's murderous decree. We must anoint him as the king. They entered into a covenant. That meant they were going to oppose Athaliah. If need be, they were going to enter into battle against her. And we'll learn more of this next week. But they covenanted before God that they would anoint Joash and they would stand by him as the rightful king of Israel. That was the covenant they made. Why did they make this covenant? To battle with Athaliah, to oppose her even unto blood. Look at the end of verse 3. As the Lord has said. Let me just read the phrase before. Behold, the king's son shall reign. As the Lord has said of the sons of David. Jehoiada took the book, the Old Testament. He says, the Lord has said in this book, the sons of David are to reign on the throne of Judah. And here's the son of David, just a child of 7 years of age. And there's the throne, and on that throne is a wicked, evil woman. Oh, she might present herself as sweetness and light. She might be like the devil. She might come across as the angel of light to some. And no doubt she did. She's an imposter. Because the word of God says, the sons of David shall reign. This was a man who lived his life by the word of God. This was a man, and it didn't matter what was taking place in the nation. "Ah, but she's not a bad queen, you know. We've got over that wee blip of 6 years ago when there was bloodshed in the royal house, and the nation's doing all right. Jehoiada, we don't need this trouble." That's not the attitude he took. It says in this book, "The sons of David are to reign. She's an impostor. We have to oppose her." And he entered into a covenant to raise up Joash as the king, because it was written in this book. It's the type of Christians we need today throughout this land. If it's written in this book, we'll believe it. If it's written in this book, we'll obey it. If it's written in this book, we'll do it, no matter who it offends, no matter who is against it. We'll live by the word of God and seek to live it out in our lives. Have you the conviction of Jehoiada? I say to the ladies, have you the conviction of Jehoshaphat? Are you sworn to the Lord? What a hero in Israel he was, often forgotten. His partner and their profession, his actions and its aftermath, his covenant and its conviction. May we learn the lessons and may we apply them to our lives and in the Church of Christ today. And may God raise up such people in his kingdom. We'll go a little further in his life next Sunday morning. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.